From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 High FM.
Good evening. My name is Dan Claff. I'm the secretary, the Grand Secretary of the Hebrew Order of David International, and this is the Hebrew Order of David Hour, the HID Hour. We are just launching tonight, and we are going to be running on Thursdays from 6 to 7 in the evening to talk about what the Hebrew Order of David is about and our history and projects that we do, and also some subjects, whether controversial or not, but around the aims and the objects of the Hebrew Order of David. So just as an introduction, I'm not sure if anybody, if all of you are familiar with the Hebrew Order of David, but the Hebrew Order of David started in South Africa in 1904, straight after the Boer War, and has been going since for 115 years now. This is our 115th year. For many years, we were a self-help organization in that we had our own medical, our own legal, and our own feeding schemes within the organization. But now, as an organization, we're an international organization with a footprint in across America, England, and South Africa and Israel. And we have lodges in those countries. And that is also as a result of the immigration, which gave the Hebrew Order of David an opportunity to have a presence overseas. Because of the numbers that left, we had numbers of South Africans living in other countries. And they were, of course, attuned to the Hebrew Order of David, understood what it was all about, and were able to get involved in the Hebrew Order of David launches in those countries. So we've been 20 years in England. We've been over 15 years in the United States. And, of course, in Israel, we started there about 25 years ago. The Hebrew Order of David has many aims and objects which of a general nature. But in the main, we stand for four essential things. One of them is anti-Semitism. Then we have, of course, affiliation, which means joining organizations, apathy, and then assimilation, which we stand firmly against. And one of the criteria for belonging to the Hebrew Order of David is the fact that you, as a married person, can only be a member of the Hebrew Order of David if you are a married person married to a Jewess. If you are an unmarried person, you undertake to marry a Jewess, and that we've stood by for many years since our inception, and it's something which is at the root of our organization. So having said that, we're going to be talking over the next couple of months about this aspect of the Hebrew Order of David. But I'd like to give you some more background about the Hebrew Order of David, because a lot of people associate us with the Hebrew Order of David, the HID Center in Orchards, where we have as our tenant Gary Friedman, and of course the Union of Orthodox Synagogues. And there's a mistaken identity with the Gary Friedman caterers that we in fact are a catering organization, which is couldn't be further from the truth. I don't think you want to eat our food prepared by me, certainly. But as an organization, we are proud to have them as tenants, occupiers, and sort of co-workers within that complex, and I'm sure many of you are familiar. I think almost every family in South Africa has had some association with the Hebrew Order of David over the years. From early days, almost every city, every town had some connection to the Hebrew Order of David. We were associated with different aspects of life in these country towns, particularly. Almost everywhere there was a Volkskas Bank, the Hebrew Order of David had a presence. And as we were, the members of the Hebrew Order of David were managing organizations like the Hevra, the Shuls, background to all of the social life within those areas. And a little later, I'm going to be talking to a member of one of our lodges, that's the Benoni Lodge, the Sir Harry Groman Lodge, about the history and the idea behind why it started in Benoni and why the Hebrew Order of David managed to open a lodge in that area. It was actually the fourth lodge to be opened in South Africa. the first lodge being in Johannesburg, the Dr. Herzl Lodge. So as an organization, we had these lodges, and we must have had almost 60 or 70 lodges open throughout the country. And during that time, we were associated, as I said, with all aspects of Jewish life. And as an organization, we've been at the forefront of Jewish life in these towns and cities. As an organization, we've pretty much been a secret society in the sense that we've, although we've done charity work and of a quite a large nature, we've managed to keep that pretty well under the radar, and we haven't broadcast it to that extent. But it's become essential as an organization that we are seen to be doing what we do, because as an organization today, you can't attract beneficiaries, you can't attract people to your organization if they don't know what you're about. And we've tried over the period, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, to become more involved in the landscape of the country, to be more involved in community work. And the Hebrew Order of David is structured in such a way that lodges are present. And in South Africa, we have, going from Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, East London, Durban, and the Gauteng region, including Sandton and Benoni, we have lodges and a presence in those areas. And we work within the communities where those lodges are present. And the structure of the order is that we have a governing lodge in each country. That's South Africa, United Kingdom, and of course North America and Israel. And under these, or under this umbrella, which is the Grand Lodge of the Hebrew Order of David, these governing lodges manage their lodges within their communities, and the lodges work to raise money and to be involved in the communities, some of which are further afield, and we do a lot of work assisting projects and activities in Israel, but mainly it's within the community of which these organizations called lodges are situated. And as I said, we'll be talking a little later about the Sir Harry Groman Lodge in Benoni. I have here in the studio with me Solly Baskin, and I have Flo, our DJ, who's assisting tonight, and he just needs to tell me a time check of how I'm doing. And we're going to be, a little later, we're going to be talking about the four aspects that I talked about. So, as I say, we stood behind the four A's, that's assimilation, apathy, anti-Semitism, and the big part of it is the apathy. As we are in South Africa, we have these eight lodges operating, and the structures are in place, and we've done work with a lot of organizations. Mainly, we have been supporting organizations right throughout the country over many, many years. And if you had a look at our history, you'll see that we've really been part of the fabric of the South African society, although I'm sure that most of families will have known about us, but not maybe had direct, but certainly had indirect association with the Hebrew Order of David as an organization. I'm going to bring Solly in just for a brief moment, and we'll come back to him a little bit later as well before we move on to the next side. But I just want to ask him a question. Solly, how long have you been a member of the Hebrew Order of David?
I have now been a member of the HOD for 38 years.
So you can see that the majority of members of the Hebrew Order of David take on this, and they stay for a long time. It's very seldom that we, unless we close down lodges, and we've had to close down because of immigration, we've had to close down lodges over the years because of immigration. But most of the members stay for a long period because they get involved. It's in their blood. We all are part of a team. We work within the lodges, but we're all friends and we work. We are certainly not Facebook type of organization. We're actual factual personal friends with the members of the order, and that's how we operate. So that's an important aspect of the footprint of the Hebrew Order of David, that we are associated with each other. We know each other. We understand each other, and we work well in that regard, and that's an important aspect of the Hebrew Order of David. Flo, do you think we could have a music break before we take on the next section?
From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
We are going to cross to Syria. We want to talk about anti-Semitism, and not just anti-Semitism, because anti-Semitism is such a broad subject that we want to talk about a more personal way of looking at anti-Semitism, in the sense, what can we as an organization do in order to further the cause of Jews in the world, but also to not to be on such a broad scale, because obviously we can't really make headway into governments and into various organizations of that level, but we certainly can get to a point where we could personally or as an organization do something to make sure that the public is made aware of us and made aware of the work that we do as Jews. Sarah?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Stan Claff. We haven't met, but your reputation has well preceded you.
Okay, let's see if we can keep that up.
Okay, Sarah, a year ago, sometime around December 2017, I think, you published a paper in which you ended up saying that anti-Jew sentiment has been normalized in our society, in government, academia, and in politics. Mm. And you made the statement that this really concerns us. And I mean, it does concern us as Jews, certainly in the South African context, but around the world as well. So what could individuals and organizations like the Hebrew Order of David do in order to make some impact on the world? What could we really accomplish on our own?
Okay. Perhaps I can start just by saying that I don't believe South Africa is an anti-Semitic country. I think most people have no negative views. A lot of people just have never met a Jew, don't know what Jews are. It doesn't impact on them at all. It's a minority view, but it's a minority view amongst the powerful sectors, and that is politics and academia. And because of the power that those particular areas hold, it has an impact on how the country formally as a political entity deals with Jews and deals with Israel. I'm really just talking from my own opinion and not from any particularly sort of strategic point of view. But I think there are two elements that possibly particularly organizations can look at. And that is, trying to find ways to get onto media in order to put forward the role of Jews, how many Jews there are in South Africa, the relationship with Israel, the issues that are in conflict, can't shy away from them, but find a way to if not regularly, but appear in unexpected media and on community radio stations if possible, and things like that. It's really, in other words, to present a broader voice of explaining who we are, because I think most people don't know. And I think the other thing is, and that's depending on who we're talking to, and particularly if you're talking to a fairly critical audience, is I think we have to try and really deal with facts. You know, people can scream and shout at you over opinion, or they can scream and shout at you because they are not presenting the facts, but if shouting, you know, makes the stronger case just because it's noisy. But it's very difficult to challenge facts. And when we get affected by claims of, you know, anti-Semitism or anti-Israel bias, it's a natural reaction, and I know I do it myself, is you get very angry and very emotional, and there's a tendency to sort of mix the emotion with the facts, and sometimes the facts are the most hard-hitting because they are you can challenge somebody's emotions or ignore them, but it's much more difficult to challenge fact. It doesn't have to be aggressive, and it doesn't have to be confrontational, but it should be perhaps canvassing areas that people generally or as a rule don't get exposed to.
So the orthodoxy seem to think that there are three areas in which we could make a difference. One, they think, is Torah observance, obviously, orthodox Torah observance. Mm-hmm. Then they say study. And the third part is they say doing mitzvahs. Now, the Hebrew Order of David, we're a mitzvah organization. That's what we do. And we would like to do it with, you know, inside our community, obviously as a first choice to help Jews, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But should we be reaching out into the greater community? Should we be showing the light to other nations, other organizations, you know, the country at large? Is that the way forward? Is doing mitzvahs the answer?
I think it's an answer in the sense that I don't think there's any one strategy that, you know, would dominate. I mean, Jews being the light unto the nations is what Jews and Judaism is about. And God knows there's a lot in this country that needs help. I think it just has to be, and there are organizations who have done a lot of work, Jewish organizations in the wider society. And the people who've been involved with that are probably best set to give advice on how best to do it. But there's no doubt the one advantage of doing something in society, however big or small, it could involve an orphanage, it could involve something else, is that it's done to help others. And that is really an aspect of Judaism that I think, you know, we are rightly proud. And it's about that. It also involves contact one-on-one. So people get to meet, see and understand Jews, whereas they may be a non-existent or foreign concept.
Because we as mere mortals, we really can't make an impact on government, academia, politics. Mm. I mean, we could stand in the street and put on a yellow jacket and make a noise. But at the end of the day, does that really serve our purpose? Could we, as individuals, we want to live in a peaceful society. We want to be able to do stuff, but also we want to give of ourselves, and giving of ourselves means we do some sort of mitzvah. And I think that's what the Hebrew Order of David stands. And that's really one aspect of the order that we've tried to bring forward as an organization to try to be within society and to work within society.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, basically the people who take on the academics or the left-wing student organizations, et cetera, government is difficult simply because there's so few Jews with direct access. But it's horses for courses. In other words, I would recommend that the best place to go in is where one has the strongest area, a comfort zone.
Biggest sphere of influence.
Yeah. And for some, it will be the more political or the more academic or the more, you know, aggressive opinion. That's fine. It's really trying to have an impact where you are strongest in the way that you are strongest.
Okay. Sarah, thanks very much. We're going to carry on, with this aspect as we go along. We're going to be talking about assimilation, et cetera, in the weeks to come. And I really thank you, and I hope you'll come back and give us some of your insights, which are, I've read some of your articles, they're very thought provoking. And thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Connecting our community. Choose life. Choose high. 101.9 High FM.
Okay, we're back with Solly Baskin, who's past president of the Sir Harry Grauman Lodge, and also he's the deputy governing lodge president of the Governing Lodge of South Africa. And we want to talk, Solly, about the origins of where the name Sir Harry Grauman comes from, where the lodge founded. I mean, it's over 100 years old. It's the second oldest lodge still standing. And just some background to the Hebrew Order of David. Can you give us a little bit of background to Sir Harry Grauman?
Sure, Stan. First and foremost, we were the fourth lodge, as you mentioned earlier, to be consecrated, but we're the second oldest remaining lodge. We were consecrated in 1911, so that makes us, we're in our 108th year at the moment. The name Harry Grauman stems from the fact that Sir Harry Grauman was the first Jewish mayor of Johannesburg. And in fact, he was mayor in 1912, which is in fact the year after we were consecrated. But knowing that it was going to happen, we preempted them. Benoni Lodge has also produced five Jewish mayors, namely Mori Nestat, who served a number Mr. Benoni. He served a number of terms as mayor. We also had Alec Potash, Aubrey Ritz, Sam Grohlman, and I. Cooper. I. Cooper, I don't unfortunately know the first name, and he was not a member of our order, but the other four were all members, and Sam Grohlman is still a member of our lodge.
In the years gone by, the Hebrew of David was really a training ground for budding politicians and people in all walks of life, especially in society and in public life, where they sort of cut their teeth. The Hebrew of David is structured in such a way that we encourage interaction. We encourage talking at meetings, and people are sometimes brought out of their shells. And so this is a typical situation. There are many other places throughout the country where there were mayors who were members of the Hebrew of David, and Benoni, of course, is at the moment we're talking about them, and close to Johannesburg, and most people would know Mori Nestat and so on. Just give us a sense of what the lodge is doing these days. I mean, Benoni, a lot of people have left Benoni, and so it's a small town with very few Jews left, but the lodge still maintains a connection with the shul and with the town.
Well, Stan, you've got to remember, first of all, the purpose of forming a lodge in the 1904 when Herzl was formed and 1911 when Sir Harry Grohman was formed was different in South Africa to the reason people join us today. In those days, we had many, many immigrants, didn't know each other, and it was a very good way of the Jewish fraternity getting together, meeting people, making lifelong friends, and doing something in business together as well when necessary. Of course, nowadays with immigration and a lot of people have passed on and people have moved out of the small towns, the parameters have changed a little bit, but the intentions are still the same. And in Benoni, for example, when I moved into Benoni in 1975, we had about 700 families. And at the time, when I joined the order, there were close on 200 plus members. Today, there's very, very few Jews living in Benoni. And what we do as a lodge today, for example, one of our functions being the Benoni Lodge, albeit majority of our members now live in Johannesburg, but we still go to shul on a Saturday to help them make a minyan and have a service. And in fact, were we not to do that, they wouldn't have a minyan. So that's one of the functions that we do as the Benoni Sir Harry Grohman Lodge, amongst others. We have a very strong social calendar. The members of our lodge are all social friends. We've become that through being members of the order. A lot of us didn't know each other till we joined the Sir Harry Grohman Lodge. And of course, we also have a very strong fundraising effort.
Just give you a little bit of additional information. I'm not sure if you know, but Sir Harry Grohman never married. He did have a brief relationship with a lady who died when she was 21, and unfortunately he never married. He concentrated on his family, and his sister, Mrs. Sims, acted in a lot of times as his mayoress, in a sense. And she actually, if you go to the fire station in Berea, you'll see that she actually laid the foundation stone there during the time of his office. Also, his brother, Berryman, I don't know if you heard that name, Berryman, yes. Grohman. He was in Kurumani. He was the superintendent of the camp, which was a concentration camp during the Boer War. So it's quite an association with the Grohman family throughout the country. today, the Sahari Graiman Lodge is a small lodge, of course, because of numbers and of course of the association with Benoni is still strong, but they do do a lot of projects. Have you got stuff on the go at the moment?
We have just completed our what we call a revolving dinner, which is a social project. We're also working on a bowls day to commemorate the memory of one of our members who passed on last year. He was a very, very keen bowler. We're going to do that as a fundraiser in his name. Our golf day that we have annually is also named in perpetuation of the memory of one of our very, very staunch members who died tragically years ago. And
that's the Mike Singer.
That's the Mike Singer Memorial Golf Day, yes. We have functions socially on a regular basis, and we also make it a point of joining sister lodges when they have their functions.
Yes, of course, the Sahari Graiman Lodge, the Benoni Lodge, very active in the other lodges, attend a lot of the other meetings, and certainly are supportive of all activities that we do throughout the Gauteng region particularly. But, of course, as an organization, we travel to other parts of South Africa, and they've attended regularly to the installations and events that take place in Cape Town, PE, Durban, etc. We're going to be crossing in a few minutes to Port Elizabeth to Doron Blackman. But just to wrap up with you, Solly, just thanks for coming in and discussing what it is. Is there anything you want to add about Sahari Graiman Lodge? Or?
Well, what I'd like to just point out, Stan, is we have a strong fundraising calendar. We give out donations to our beneficiaries every October. What we do is we, in order to encourage our beneficiaries to maybe get to know each other very similarly to the way we get to know each other in the lodge, we have a cake and tea and coffee and cake evening, and we invite all our beneficiaries. They all come. We've been doing it for a number of years. They already know each other. They come and have a cup of tea and a piece of cake, and they talk and they combine ideas. And what we do is we spread our donations amongst Jewish and non-Jewish organizations so as to be seen to be giving donations.
You can see that when they talk about functions, particularly Benoni is well known for it, you always get a meal or some food there. So it's very much part of the fabric of being a part of the order. So don't worry, as a member of the order, you'll never go hungry. Can we cross to Doron? Doron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How's it going down in Port Elizabeth?
Actually, it's a little bit windy right now, but otherwise the weather is very hot.
Well, give us
good evening to you, Stan, and I also just want to say good evening to worthy brother, Solly, and of course to the listeners out there. Good evening to everyone in the studio.
I can tell you one thing about Doron. He's an old hand at radio. He has his own radio station in not his own radio, his own radio program. He's an aficionado and an expert on music. And, one of these days we'll talk to you. We'll bring him on to talk about that. But Doron, Port Elizabeth, small lodge, small community, struggling Jewish community, but you're an outreach kind of a lodge, and you have one particular project which I want you to give us some background to, and that's Cheshire Homes. Can you tell us about that and how you became involved, etc.?
So raising funds is a very difficult thing for us to do. But we work around that. Our members are committed, and they want to perform mitzvot. They want to get the word out there that we believe in helping everybody, not just, our motto is love thy neighbor, but it's not love necessarily only thy Jewish neighbor. We love everybody, and we try and do good work. So we've sort of cottoned on to a mitzvah scheme that we do with Cheshire Homes, and that's our main focus project. That's what our members get together. We have 12 functioning members. And we perform evenings of music and entertainment for the residents of that home.
How did you get involved in that? I mean, you're a muso yourself.
Yes, well, Stan, you know, we were looking for something we could do with no money. It's a very difficult thing to do that. So after a bit of thought, I thought, you know, the disabled people have a real hard time going out listening to music. We need all sorts of special vehicles, and it becomes a big problem. So I thought, let's take the music to them. And I called on all my friends that I've known in the last 40 years in the industry. And once a month, we put on a music show there, and we get a lot of musicians volunteering their time, and they come down and they perform for the residents at the actual home. We've had Ian Von Memmerty, a lot of very well-known musicians, and some unknown musicians. The residents don't really seem to mind. They appreciate the fact that we show some attention in that direction. So all the brethren are tasked with, who come to the evening, are tasked with bringing cold drinks and chips. And while the entertainment's happening, we walk around and we talk to the residents and, you know, pass out cold drinks and chips. And we have a really enjoyable evening. And we've been doing this for on and off, I would imagine, now about 8 years. And it's proved very successfully. And we're getting the word out there that the Hebrew Order of David cares about everybody. And I think even listening to Sarah Gon talk earlier, this is a very important thing.
And the Cheshire Home is a home for handicapped people or elderly people?
It's a home for disabled people. Disabled. There are some handicapped people in that sense, but, you know, we rather look at it as a different type of ability rather than a disability.
Right. So, I mean, in the smaller sense of in the sense of the smaller lodges throughout the country, I mean, there's fundraising, of course, is very difficult, and particularly in areas like Port Elizabeth, East London, etc., out in the coastal areas of the country, where many people have left those areas and have drifted into the towns or they've gone overseas. You pointed out to the fact that the motto of the Hebrew Order of David is "V'ahavta l'recha kamocha," which is "Love thy neighbor as thyself," and you certainly are displaying that kind of activity, and I really want to thank you, and thanks for coming on. And I know you have a managed meeting tonight, and I hope you're going to give us, you're going to talk to and give our regards to everybody at that meeting. Thanks for coming on.
Stan, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I really want to thank you. I know this is your inaugural launch of the show, and to pick us out of all the good lodges that we have around the country to give a little talk on what we do, it's a real honor for us. So thank you all very much for your support.
And you stand up the lodge in Port Elizabeth, which is the Hillel Menorah Lodge. Lodge Hillel Menorah is always punched above its weight. It's you've always participated, as I say, you've come to all our conferences, etc. And we value your participation in the Hebrew Order of David at the highest level. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 High FM.
As I said at the beginning, my name is Stan Claff. I'm the Grand Secretary of the Hebrew Order of David International, the international part being that we have lodges throughout the world, North America, Canada, South Africa, Israel, and the United Kingdom. I just want to give you a little bit of background to the early days of the Hebrew Order of David. So interesting going through the constitution and the documents of early years in the Hebrew Order of David. And it was interesting to note, just a little known fact, that if you were a barman, you couldn't become a member of the Hebrew Order of David. I wonder if anybody ever thought of that, but I suppose today I own a liquor store. We've got probably quite a number of members of the Hebrew Order of David who own liquor stores. So quite an interesting fact from the early days. We are in the process of putting forward some talks which will take place for the public throughout the year in the Johannesburg area at the HOD Center. The first of these is, those of you who remember CADESA, the end of apartheid, and of course the association of Dr. Rolf Meyer and our president, Cyril Ramaphosa. We will be having as our guest speaker on the 19th of February at the HOD Center. It's open to the public. The cost of attending is 150 rand. It's a fundraising event. He's going to talk about 25 years on, and it is 25 years on, since the new South Africa came into being, the end of the constitution. Of course, Dr. Ruth Meyer today is involved in the world stage, and he's very involved in doing mediation between different parties and different countries around the world. A very busy man. We are privileged to have him as a speaker. If anybody wants to attend, we're going to be sending out flyers, and we're going to be advertising in the weeks to come the date, so you don't have to take it down. Just pencil it into your diary. We're welcome. You can pay at the door. Of course, there'll be food, tea and cake, and et cetera, at the end of it. But we look forward to a very interesting evening, and there'll be question time about that. We want to introduce two new aspects, because we're going to be having the show on it, and we're very thankful to Chai FM for giving us the opportunity of having an hour show every Thursday at the moment, between 6 and 7. And we want to open up some avenues which we haven't done in the past. One of the things that we do as an organization is we assist other organizations, small and large, with items, and we want to introduce a section called the wish list. And so organizations, we're going to be asking, and we do have already a number of organizations asking us for items, and that can be either small, from a wheelchair. We've given GPSs to various organizations, and we'll try and marry what the organization, these organizations or these individuals need with what the community can offer. So if you stand by over the next few weeks and watch the space, we'll be announcing different things that we are in need, and we would hope that the community would come forward and assist us in doing that. Some of these things we'll provide. We have finances to be able to do some of these things, but some of these we really rely on the community to fund us and to assist us with these projects. And I'm sure that many of you would like to be involved in helping, and maybe you have causes that you need assistance with. We don't give away cash. It's one of our policies. We do not invest cash in companies in organizations. We only give away items. We have organizations tell us what they need. We've given things from fridges to Selwyn Siegel to, we built, in 1986, we built, kennels for the guard dogs. We've supplied even swings for our parents' home, for the kids to come on, for the grandchildren to come and play there. So we provide certain things like that, and we'll be asking for that as time goes on. Before we finish up, and we want to launch today, we are launching today, a project which we've been looking at for quite some time, and it's called A Day in the Life of a Jew in South Africa. And what that's going to do, what we need, and of course today with technology, it's pretty simple. Take your cell phone, take a picture of an event or a place or something that you find interesting, give us some blurb, send it in, we'll be announcing the address where you can send it. It's easy, it's technology based, and we'll be putting all that all together, and ultimately we intend, if the response is good, to put it into some sort of a book which will be distributed and will be available to the public as a sort of a fundraiser. In order to make it interesting and to make it attractive for the public, you, the people out there, and if you want to be involved, we're offering a 25,000 rand in prize money to, we'll have a panel of, which we're busy at the moment in appointing, and that panel will be putting together the rules and regulations of how this will work and what we expect and what the criteria will be for awarding these prizes. And so we'll divide it amongst, obviously we're not just going to give one person 25, we'll probably give each person 500. No, we'll give something of substance to this project, and we hope to make it a big project. We are going to be having a website launched within the next few weeks, or certainly not more than weeks away. And we'll load up some of the pictures there for interest with the day in the life of the Jew in South of a Jew in South Africa. And we want you to, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be a picture of your shoot. It can be a picture of an event that you're involved in. It can be you going to your first day at school. Whatever it is that you want to say, or you want to do, just give us some blurb with it. Don't just send a picture. I know a picture always tells us 1,000 words. And don't send us 1,000 words. Just send us a few words to amplify what the picture is all about. And we want to bring that into the public space. And it'll be a book that should be available. You'll be able to send it to people overseas. Once we get to publish it, which we really would like to. We've done publishing of books in the past. And this book we'll make as part of our project for the year, and it'll be a bit of a fundraiser to sell the books at a price which will be affordable, and maybe and be able to put that money to good use. We do have one project which we've done, and we took. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with a book called Blessings for Life, published by Bev Cohen. And we've got 2,000 books available in the United States and Canada, and they are distributing them there. And the proceeds of the sales of this book are going to come back to South Africa for use for assistance of the Selwyn Segal organization. As I said, we don't give money. We'll be taking that money, and together with Bev Cohen, we'll be putting together some sort of project in order to do something for the Selwyn Segal. That will come in due course. Sales aren't as good as they could have been in America, but they are beginning to step up, and hopefully we'll put together a package of some money, and we'll be able to assist them in that way. We have some other projects coming up towards the end of the year, and we have an annual bingo evening, which we will be holding this year on the 6th of November, which is one of our lodges, Lodge Negev. It's we support the organization called Kosher Mobile Meals, and the proceeds of that project generally go towards the Kosher Mobile Meals, sometimes other beneficiaries. But that bingo evening is a big event. We have definitely far more prizes than we do have numbers of bums on seats, but it's a great evening, wonderful Chavashaft event, and it's a fundraising event which people talk about, and the prizes, nobody goes away empty hand, everybody gets a prize. I don't know if we have more time to discuss anything more, do we? So we, must I wrap up? He's giving me signals here that I'm, Flo is giving me signals that I must start to wrap up, but you know, I can't talk a lot. Sorry, is there anything you want to add to any of the things? You've got projects on the go. There are other projects coming up. We'll be announcing projects around the world, and we'll be next month, over throughout the year, we'll be crossing live to some of our lodges overseas to give you a background of where we are, from San Diego, Boca Raton, Texas, that's Dallas and Houston, to Atlanta, to Toronto, to London, to Jerusalem, and to Ranana. And so we will, over the course, be talking to lodges and hearing what they do. And of course, the fundraising events in America are great. And of course, they raise much more money than we do. But nevertheless, we hold our own. Sorry, anything to say?
Yes, excuse me, Stan. One thing, we have touched on the fundraising side of things quite extensively tonight, but I don't think we should forget the fact that the members of our order call each other brethren. We don't call each other members. And the concept of that is that we treat each other like family. We're very close-knit.
Sometimes that's a bad thing.
Possibly, but more often than not, it's a good thing. And the members genuinely care about each other. And I think it's important to note that, because they feel for each other. If there's a problem, you don't have a problem. Everyone shares your happiness. Everyone shares your sadness in bad times, and you feel comforted. And that's very important today.
Sure, and we are always open for membership, people who want to be involved. This is not a question of writing our checks. This is a question of giving up your time. Members of the Hebrew Order of David give up their time to do good. We have an organization which we're associated with in the United States, and I like the name. It's called Do Jewish, and that's what we do. We do Jewish. We do stuff which makes the Hebrew Order of David stand out. We work within our communities. We had a discussion with Sarah gone earlier about how effective we could be as an organization in fighting against the things that we do. Of course, words are easy, but actions speak louder than words, and we really hope that you will be involved. And as a community in South Africa, I know it's a very involved community, and we welcome anyone who wants to discuss with us or talk to us about projects or anything that you have.
Stan, can I just end with one thing? I'd like to just touch on something Daron said, and that is the thing about the HOD is that in the times like today where money is tight and times are really tough, you can still give of your time.
Correct. Very important. Thank you. Thank you, Flo. Thank you, Chai FM. This is Stan Claff signing out, Hebrew Order of David, International, and thank you.